Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the Doom Patrol podcast, where the wait is over this week for once.
Hooray! Yes, hello, I'm Mike. You can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. You can reach us via email on waitingfordoom@gmail.com or on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. You can also check out mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com, run by our fellow Doom bro Doug Zavisha. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and podbean.com.
G'day, I'm Flinger, or Paul, or Reading_Hicks on Twitter. And we, if you want to get in touch with our show account, it's Wilfred, the sentient Twitter account, and he's at WFDpod. And we are sponsored by Comicosity.
Yes, Comicosity, the great site for all the comic book love. And this week, something that caught my eye is they've given us a review of Doomsday Clock number 1, the first issue in the next big event for DC Comics. I'm probably going to check this out. I'm a bit... I didn't check out before Watchmen. I gave all that a wide berth because I didn't need to know what happened before then. This one, yeah, I might check it out. The review's interesting. Yeah.
It's not a slam dunk, you know, 10 out of 10.
No, it's not. It's not. I think it's you know, some fair comments there from Matt Santori. So
yeah, beautifully written too. Some really lovely wordsman workmanship in there.
Yes. What a way with words. But yes, comicosity.com, check them out for all the comic book love. And yeah, it's good to be back. Paul, what have you been up to since we were last on air?
Oh, it's been a while. I've read some comics. I've been around. I saw Justice League.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And isn't it great to have Stockholm Syndrome so that when a half-decent Justice League movie comes along, we all think it's fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
We've been so abused by Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman that this looks fantastic in comparison.
Yeah, it's a definite step in the right direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think my feeling coming out of it was, well, okay, now they've got a good spot to move forward from.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, a couple of years ago, they had a terrible spot to move forward from. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, I enjoyed it. I had a really good time with it. Yes, there are a few problems with it. I think it's quite clear to see the bits that Zack Snyder did and then the bits that Joss Whedon did.
Yeah, you could play that game. I'm not feeling like there's much point in playing it. But, I mean, if someone said they didn't like it, I certainly wouldn't go, whoa, I don't understand that at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's sure. If this had come out when Man of Steel was meant to first came out, I think most people would be pretty happy with where they were by the third film. But, anyway. But every time I just think about the film, the main thing I picture is the nice, crisp, bright colours of Superman's outfit now.
He smiled and, you know, cracked a couple of jokes.
Yeah.
Where was he a few films ago?
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, good stuff. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, my wife fell asleep in the middle of it and I didn't really want to blame her. And I woke her towards the action at the end as things picked up again because it did get a bit quiet in the middle, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
But I must admit, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I was quite happy by the time I left the cinema, especially those two post-credit scenes. They were great fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Oh, well, yes. Well done, Snyder and Whedon.
Mm. Yeah.
Whedon, Snyder and whatever. Anyway.
How about we go and have a look at what might be happening down on Durrington Way?
Bloody oath, let's do that.
Let's.
it's that time of the month. not that time of the month.
Not another Dorothy story. God.
Golly. No, it's the time of the month where we get the solicitations out of DC where they tell us what's going to come out in February. And is there anything for Doom Patrol fans in February? Bloody oath there is. There's a whole stack of stuff. And it's the final Milk Wars crossover, which combines the Young Animal verse with the DC verse. And so we've got all the solicitations before us. So I'll give you the highlights. So there's the JLA Doom Patrol Special number 1, written by Steve Orlando and Gerard Way, art by Akko, with a backup story by Magdalene Visaggio, and backup story art by Sonny Liu. And it's got a cover by Frank Quitely, which we've already seen, which is messianic figure of Milkman Man, hovering in the sky with a cup of glass of milk. Anyway, so this is what this is going to be about. It says, the Doom Patrol has discovered that an interdimensional corporation called Retco has been stealing stories, reconfiguring them, and repackaging for new markets. A gang of misfit heroes have felt the touch of this nefarious company, and it has already started to change them. Even scarier, though, is how deeply Retco has embedded itself into current continuity, using the irradiactive milk of psychic cows to quell the more dangerous impulses of the Justice League and turn them into heroes safe for the masses. And to kick this off, Retco has gone all the way to the top. Meet Milkman Man, known. Oh, Melbourne! Heretofore unknown final son of Krypton, who was sent to our planet to save him from the destruction of his homeworld, only to be adopted by an evil dairy farmer and raised to love all things dairy.
Wow.
Plus, who is Eternity Girl and how does she connect to this whole scheme? A special backup by Magdalene Visaggio and Sonny Liu. Wow.
Nice.
So that's a... what is it? It's a $4.99 comic. It's coming out at the last week of January, on the 31st of January at this stage. And it's followed by a Mother Panic Batman special, written by Jody Houser, the regular Mother Panic writer, with art by Ty Templeton, who I love. And the backup story continues there. It says, Milk Wars Part 2. Mother Panic has discovered a Gotham City transformed. What happened to her friends and family? And who moved into Gather House, the religious school that scarred Mother Panic as a young girl? It's Father Bruce, the orphan millionaire who decided to give back to society by filling the deep demand for sidekicks. So many robins in need of a nest. So that's another $4.99 comic. That's in the first week of February. And then we have Shade the Changing Girl Wonder Woman special, number 1, written by Cecil Castellucci. I don't know how to pronounce her name. And Mirka Adolfo, and it's also got the backup story continuing, Milk Wars Part 3. Shade has been split into multiple parts, each representing a different mood, all in service of the perfect and beautiful Wonder Wife. But Happy Shade is starting to sense that not all is right in Wonderland, and she finds something strange staring back at her on the other side of the looking glass. Ooh, February 14th, Valentine's Day special, that one. These all have covers by Frank Quitely. So that one has it's Wonder Woman as the perfect housewife hovering in the sky with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
And the Mother Panic Batman special has sort of like Batman, he looks a bit like the Green Hornet sort of floating in the sky, doesn't he? Except all in black.
Well, I thought he was a priest.
Yeah, he seems to have a dog collar, and I think he's called Father Wayne or something. Yeah, Father Bruce. A bit of imagining. And this one I'm super excited for. Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye, / Swamp Thing special, number 1. John Rivera, regular writer Cave Carson. Art by Langdon Foss, who I've never heard of, but he has an awesome name. It's the Foss. Can't wait to see the Foss. With the backup story continuing, covered by Frank Quitely, which we haven't seen, and says, Milk Wars Part 4. Swamp Thing has detected a disturbance in the green, and his hunt for it has led him to Retco headquarters. There he finds Cave Carson and his crew struggling against being assimilated into Retco's diabolical narrative. Is it possible for Swampy and Cave to destroy the organization from the inside? And then the backup story continues. And then finally, the whole thing ends. So that's on the 21st of February, that last one. And the whole thing ends on in the Doom Patrol JLA special. So first one's JLL Doom Patrol. This one's Doom Patrol JLA, completely different. Written by Steve Orlando and Gerard Way. Art by Dale Eaglesham. Fantastic.
Ooh.
JSA artists, etc.
Yeah.
Wars finale. As Retco's foundation shatters, the young animal teams come together with the Justice League and even more DC Universe heroes to finish the job. The only problem is Milkman Man and Retco still stand in their way. To right reality, the heroes of Young Animal and the DC Universe will have to unlock an outrageous power never before seen on any world. Ooh. And it says, this mind-blowing conclusion will establish new realities for all of DC's Young Animal titles. Look for the return of Cave Carson, Shade, and Mother Panic next month. And that comes out on February 28th. But you won't have to wait for the return of Doom Patrol because it's so bloody late that it's going to come out. I'm assuming the story that was meant to end before Milk Wars will come out in March now, after Milk Wars.
Right.
So,
of course.
Awesome. So, that's the Young Animal stuff. There is a bit of other news, like someone, I think Martin Gray pointed out to us and a few other people tweeted at us, that Ryan Potter has been cast in the Titans TV show as Beast Boy.
Yes, very exciting.
And he sat down, he had a sit down with Geoff Johns. It sounds like meeting the Godfather. And apparently they talked all things Titans and Beast Boy, including the Doom Patrol. So, it seems that, the Doom Patrol could be woven into the backstory in this Titans TV show, which would be bloody sweet.
Do we know if the Titans show is going to tie in to the rest of the current DC TV shows, like The Flash and Supergirl?
I can't say this for certain, but I think I recall hearing that it's not going to be in the CW-verse.
That's a shame.
Well, maybe. I mean, it means they can... I mean, it seems like they're divvying up their characters between different shows. You know how, like, Supergirl has the Martian Manhunter and all the Metropolis crowd. But if the Doom Patrol is in the Family of the Titans verse, that could be some good storytelling.
Yeah. I mainly asked because I remember in an early episode of The Flash, there was a movie poster at a cinema that was about the Rita Farr story.
Yes.
And they've always left that one hanging out there, as far as I'm aware. So
yeah, it's just a cool background thing. I mean, they've also done things like had Harley Quinn in a cell that you never saw her, but you heard her, and things like that. So I think they come up with ideas, and then the divvying up of characters between shows takes over what they always intended. So, because the Suicide Squad used to be in Arrow at one point.
Oh, okay. But
now they can't be. So, anyway, so that's fairly exciting.
That's a lot of awesome stuff coming our way.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll point out, like if you're listening to this show the day it comes out or the day after, it's sort of around Black Friday, if you get onto Comixology, that you can get some Doom Patrol trades very, very cheap.
Yes. Wilfred's tweeted and Facebooked.
Oh, good old Wilfred. You can get the six Grant Morrison trades for $4.99 each, and you can get the Young Animal Doom Patrol trade for $4.99 as well. So that is sweet.
Very sweet.
I had so much bloody trades in my cart when I went to Comixology that I had to take them all out when I bought this Doom Patrol issue that came out today.
Right.
Oh, I can't spend $70 right now. I can spend $5. Anyway, so that's all the news, I think.
Wow. Mm. That's a lot of news.
It's a shit ton. Melbourne makes me swear. Mm.
Anyway, I know you're in Melbourne and you're clearly loving it, but can you hear the ticking there that I can hear?
I can.
It's got to be the one and only Doom Clock. It's got to be what?
A tram.
Melbourne. And so, yes, as we look upon the face of the mighty Doom Clock, we can see that the last time we had a Doom Patrol book in our hot hands was today, Issue 9 of Volume 6. Yes, woo indeed. And I won't say any more about it. We're going to be discussing it in further detail in our Doomsplaining segment this very episode. So huzzah. Issue 10 is at this stage scheduled for release on January 24th, 2018.
A mere 2 months away.
Well, yeah, like, yeah, 9 weeks away. So
at this stage.
At this stage. Yeah. I should just call this segment the At This Stage segment. Anyway, I'm sure it will be worth the wait. I'm sure.
Schedule embarrassment by this program.
Anyway, this week in Doom Patrol history, with thanks to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, going on sale for $2.50 American on November 24th in 2004, with a cover date of January 2005, was issue 6 of Doom Patrol Volume 4. The creative team of John Byrne, Doug Hazelwood, Jared K. Fletcher, and Alex Blayart brought us a story titled A Brain is a Terrible Thing to Waste, in which the patrol took on the criminal masterminds behind an illegal underground robot fighting ring. Of course.
Robot fighting.
Yeah. We also got to see Cliff getting a new body, and Negative Man took on a dinosaur. Or does he? Can't say anything more because we haven't actually covered this issue yet. But we will cover it and issue 5 when we take another look at the Byrne run in a future episode. But in the meantime, you can get caught up on this run by checking out episodes 109 and 111. And that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
Beginning in 2018, the Who's Who podcast enters the 1990s with our coverage of the Loose Leaf editions.
Featuring Superman by Jerry Ordway.
The Joker by Brian Bolland.
Wonder Woman by George Perez.
Sandman by Mike Dringenberg.
Batman by Norm Brayfogle.
The JLI by Adam Hughes.
Eclipso by Bart Sears.
The Legion of Superheroes by Keith Giffen.
Dark Stars by Travis Charest.
Lobo by Simon Bisley.
Kent Shakespeare by Chris Sprouse? Who is that?
Doomsday by Tom Grummett.
Wait, are we covering these by issue or in alphabetical order?
The Justice Society of America by Mike Parabek.
The Forever People again? You are f***ing kidding me.
Doom Patrol by Richard Case.
I'm so confused.
And many more. The Who's Who podcast, going boldly into the 90s.
A proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, I guess.
And now it's time for Doomsplaining, and this episode we are looking at a brand new issue of Doom Patrol, issue number 9 of Volume 6. So Paul, tell us all about it.
Okay, this one was written by Gerard Way, penciled by Nick Darrington, inks by Nick Darrington and Tom Fowler, and it's got a fantastic cover by Nick Darrington and an alternate cover by Tula Lote and Mondo, who I think do some graphic design on it. But yeah, sweet cover. So one is a very, it's a close-up of Lucius Reynolds, Sam Reynolds' son, the amateur satanic ritualist. And he seems to be holding a little glow between his forefinger and his thumb. And the other cover is Casey Brink with some nice sort of colours flowing off her. So it's very, very stylish cover, that one.
Yeah.
But getting into the issue itself. So when we last saw the Doom Patrol, they were getting beaten up by some pink and blue sort of robot-y looking things in the street. And this was after the debut of the super product shit. As flogged on TV by Eddie Zilch, and Terry Nunn pushed some shit onto Casey, which made her act very weird, and particularly when her cat came home and her cat was sort of upright and now walking in a semi-humanoid form, and she and the cat got it on.
Didn't they just?
They sure did. anyway, so that's where... Then the team were out in the street and these robots attacked, which is where this issue picks up. So the pink and blue mechs pound on Cliff Steele as he ruminates about losing his human body and the feelings that go with that many years ago. But taking a beating is the closest he can get to having a human body feeling pain again. The robot say I love you, and the pink one demands as it knocks him reeling. And then Larry unleashes Keeg, Larry Trainer, the negative man, unleashes Keeg, the negative energy, who bounces straight off one of the mechs. Then Jane kneels next to Cliff to see if he's okay as the mechs declare, I ship it, say I love you. And Cliff says to Jane, I can't hide it anymore. I got to say something. I feel love right now, stronger than I ever felt. I love you, Jane. And the mechs grow larger now. And now, Jane, say I love you. The mech adds, and Flex leaps into the fray. I love the way Flex literally leaps into the fray.
Yep.
He looks so happy. But Jane has an idea of what's going on. Boys and girls must be together and say I love you, one of the robots says. Jane looks at Cliff and very sweetly she looks at him and says, I hate your guts. Flex's muscle mystery starts overpowering the mechs as Jane gently tells Cliff, it's true, I hate you with every atom that makes me whole. Suck eggs. And Keeg flies in again on the attack, and the power of the negative energy and muscle mystery fells the pink mech with a mighty crack, crack, and the headless mech falls on its knees, and a human form covered in green goop splashes out of the casing to the ground. The blue mech rushes over, Cookie, no, 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 and a similar garb figure emerges and cradles the dying Cookie. It's Nolan. Nolan is here. You are go. You are free. And Larry reaches out and puts a hand on Nolan's shoulder and says, I'm sorry, but it's going to be okay. But then Nolan and Cookie dissolve as the patrollers decide they better withdraw to Dannyland for safety. In the house of Sam and Valerie, more specifically in the room of their son Lucius, Lucius is continuing his satanic incarnation to raise a dead squirrel. And his words are echoed by otherworldly sounds of music. And the squirrel rises out of the trash can for a minute before falling back into the rubbish as the energy fades and the music stops. He gets so frustrated he screams and hurls the record against the wall, barely missing the two cartoonish bunnies who rise out of the LP next to him, and the LP is called The Magical World of Magic. And he puts that album on the player to see what happens when he plays it in reverse, and what happens is a tornado of cartoon sound effects before he is suddenly transported to a black environment face-to-face with Eddie Zilch, the purveyor of shit and from the commercials. And Eddie cups his hands and asks Lucius what he's holding. What's in my hands? And Lucius, with a high degree of certainty, says, shit, you've got shit in your hands. And Eddie says, close, as his face begins to crumble and his glasses pitch to the side for a moment before resolving into the face of Mr. Nobody. It's nothing, Lucius, nothing at all.
My favorite page in the whole issue.
Then, meanwhile, elsewhere in the pink heavenly realm, the white light figure in red robes he summons his underling Richard to take a letter. And he starts, Dear cousin, I hope this finds you in fair weather. Due to unforeseen circumstances, I am unable to attend your baby shower as I had promised. I am the ruler of all things, star stuff, implosion, and one's understanding of the words courage and valor, master of the hopes and dreams sewn into the tights of supermen and superwomen. Lord of the stratosphere, where the radioactive can render you blind or imbue you with the senses of a jaguar. I am the god of that, because God is dead.
Uh-oh.
But
no, just God's dead.
Yeah. I bashed his brains in with a brick, and then he scraped him off the pink marble floor, disposing of his body unceremoniously in a dumpster. Please send my love to your mother and husband. I am regretfully sorry to disappoint you, but that is who I am. The disappointment. That's his name. And we see that he has withheld due to copyright across his white body, which is sort of like just a blank void.
Mm.
He says, strangle yourselves on shock pink rosaries as we drown in awe. Dangle your hearts above the whirling blades of a mundanity. No hope, no home. You will piss, you will scream, and I will remain always yours. The hell?
Yep.
And then he says, end message, and asks Richard for a status report. And Richard tells him that the modern question is school giving us some troubles. We ran a stress test and they shrugged it off like a bee sting, as expected. They are highly resistant to Metacon. Retcon is worried that the mod could have an interaction that might destabilize things, interrupting our broadcast to the anonymous, whatever that is. And he says, and the disappointment says, bring it on. And the search for my bride says, well, that's proving difficult. We're looking everywhere. And the disappointment pulls out a comic from a box called Hacksalon. And he said, cancelled. They thought it would stop me. But I will have my wedding. I will have my day of resolution. And he opens to the back page where it says, next issue, the Star-Spangled Wedding of the Millennia. Who is Starlene? And it shows a figure coming out of the mist to marry the disappointment. And then he says, and then I will pull the plug on this son of a bitch.
Mm. Mm. Right.
Some stuff there. Meanwhile, Casey is grabbing the last of her stuff in the apartment and finishing her box of shit as Terry arrives home. And Casey explains she has left a note for the cat, Lotion, who's taken off. And Terry says goodbye, suggesting they can meet up sometime. But Casey launches at her with a big smooch, which Terry returns. And then the two stumble backward, fall through the hole in the wall, which was covered in plastic after the battle in issue two. And a parachute slows their descent as the world melts into psychedelia around them. Hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. Again. Meanwhile, Lucius and Mr. Nobody are on a cartoonish desert highway with a sign saying nowhere, population zero. And Mr. Nobody tells him briefly of his history, making mischief against the Doom Patrol, leading the Brotherhood of Dada. But it's now, he says, now it's going to be fresh and new. And a car screeches to a stop next to them. And he declares, behold, the Brotherhood of Nada. And he introduced the whole team. So Daisy Langdon, a promising young scientist who had the misfortune of botching an experiment with radioactive cement. The accident rendered her cold and inhuman. The only thing that keeps her alive is feeding on the pain and the misfortune of others, which she'll gladly bring about with her monstrous strength. She's known as the Brutalist. No feeling. And then we meet, so this is a sort of concrete blocky figure. And then there's Hector Alvarez, was just a mild-mannered boy who loved building sandcastles at the beach. When one day he found a metal detector of alien origin, now he uncovers adventure, loose change, and anything else. Wherever he goes, he's Hector, the boy detector. it's a kind of Astro Boy-looking boy, a jetpack and a bubble helmet. And Mr. Nobody declares, no hiding! And then the next figure, it's basically... the lower part of a body in underpants with hairy legs and socks. But nothing above the waist. A rebel from the waist
down. Yep.
And this one is 50% Chad, the mysterious pair of oversized legs, feet, bits, and a tush. Nobody knows where they came from. Did they belong to someone else? Someone large? Is there more Chad? The width of failure, the clammy skin, the mere sight of these ham hocks and a breath of this cloud of desperation will make anyone quit. No pants! And the final member of the Brotherhood of Nada is Alistair Breeze. The Breeze. Even from a young age, Alice was an ace at everything. Whiz kid, track star, darts champ. Alice was so good at everything that people just got bored of her. She never had it hard and there's nothing that don't come easy. No problem! And Alice is just a girl in a jacket with sunnies who looks happy and giving the thumbs up.
She looks quite normal compared to Alice.
Normal. Anyway, Mr. Nobody is going to work some magic on Lucius and he starts to glow and suddenly he's wearing sort of magician robes and a top hat and has a wand and he says, you, the great Ludini, the teenage nothing. The most wonderful, powerful wielder of gonzo sorcery this side of Cramelot. And he says, right now there are millions of people out there eating mostly all-natural food additive that will 100% screw up their entire existence once I give the high sign. You, me, the rest of these jokers, giving reality a well-placed kick to the teeth and starting it all over. No rules, no parents, no classical music. What do you say, kid? And Lucius looks down at the hat for a minute and says, sure, why not? I don't have any better offers. And then they leap into the car and zoom away, and Mr. Nobody declares, onward to the city where my daughter awaits. So, I wonder who that is. And the last bit of the comic is Valerie Reynolds is sitting despondently at her kitchen table when she suddenly notices that Sam has left her something on the table. And it's a note reading, shape what you dream. And there's a package of sculpting clay. And then Sam arrives and said, well, I got your artistic retreat, so you can go and have some time to yourself. And, you know, this Valerie takes this very well, gives him a big hug, and they decide that they will go and see Lucius and have a chat with him. And they open his door, and they see that his room is a satanic shambles, and there's mess and debris everywhere, and it spells out the words, when seen from above, thanks for nothing. Wow, there's a lot of connections and dots being drawn together in this issue, aren't there, Mike?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There's so much. First of all, I just want to say I'm so glad that finally a comic book has done something for us fans of brutalism architecture in introducing the brutalists. Yes. You know, it's been such a long time coming. You know, I've been a fan of it for a while. I didn't even realize what it was called until I saw a documentary literally a couple of weeks ago that was all about brutalist architecture. And I was like, you know what? I do like that style. Now I know what it's called. And here I am reading about a villain based on brutalism. And yeah, that was quite a nice touch. But the rest of it, oh my God, page 13, The Return of Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
Grinning like a loon when I got to that page.
I mean, we sort of knew it was coming. I mean, we'd made the connection between Eddie Zilch and Mr. Nobody and, you know. But, a very satisfying moment. Very
good. Yeah. As you said, we knew it was going to happen. It was nice that it finally did. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and so we're able to put together that the two robots were the, I think in the previous issue we had the warehouse full of comics with the drawers, and there were the guys in the drawers, and, Richard was one of the blokes, and he looked like a sort of DC staffer from the 70s.
Yep.
Yeah, and they pulled out these blokes and sent them off on this mission, and they're the Say I Love You bots. There's something going on there, but they belong to the Disappointment.
Who is in the tower in the pink clouds that we've seen from like the start of this run.
Yeah.
And it's nice to visit that again too, and for him to have a name, finally, the Disappointment.
And we get a hint that he is from a comic that got cancelled before he got an ending. Which is why he's doing all this stuff so he can have his ending, because in the previous issue of his comic he was going to marry, it was promised that he would have the wedding, and he's going to have that, and then he's going to pull the plug on the son of a bitch, which I presume is his comic or the entire world perhaps, I'm not sure.
And I do think part of this is going to tie into the Milkman Wars as well.
Yeah, well, they mention Retco because he's working with Retco. So Retco are the rewriters of reality, so they've been... So, I mean, this has potential to be really huge. If Retco have been modifying the DC Universe bit by bit, and we get a direct hint of it because Sam is wearing a Beast Boy from Teen Titans Go t-shirt. And he says, I really like this character. He's my favorite character from a cartoon. And then he got all serious, but this is the version of him that I like best. This is meant to be the same universe as that, Beast Boy comes from, or Changeling, if you like his modern name, which I don't.
Yeah. He'll always be Beast Boy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I must admit, the Teen Titans Go version of Beast Boy is probably my favorite in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you read the Marv Wolfman Titans, and Beast Boy is so bloody annoying. Anyway.
Yeah. So, it's over so quickly, though.
Yeah.
We wait so long, and then we finally get it. And we get Mr. Nobody back. We get to see and meet the new Brotherhood, who are great. They're just insane. And it's like, I'm still not sure what to make of the Chad. Sorry, 50% Chad. Sorry.
50% Chad, yes. Chad is one of the funniest names.
Yeah.
Remember from, was it Charlie's Angels? Was that the Chad? The Chad will be...
I must admit I'd forgotten that.
Oh, okay. Someone will.
But yes, it looks like they're going to be an interesting challenge for the Patrol to go up against. And they've got Lucius there as well now. So
that's
going to be interesting.
A supporting cast member has joined the Brotherhood of Nada.
Deary me.
Yeah, I mean, most of these Brotherhoods come to sort of sticky ends, so hopefully they get a good ending. But what's going on with Casey? I mean, this shit stuff seems to be really affecting her choices.
Well, yeah. I think one of the side effects of shit is, you consume it, you get a bit randy.
Yeah. But Terry seems receptive.
Yeah.
You know, she's not pushing her away. She's holding her head like, I'm into this.
Yeah.
And then they fall through the window and Casey sprouts a parachute out of her. I mean, I presume because she's an imaginary character originally that she has things like parachutes at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
But do you notice as the world sort of melts into colours around them, it's exactly like the cover of Doom Patrol 116 from the 60s.
Oh, yeah. And it was, which was also used in one of the variant covers.
Yeah, I think for the last issue, perhaps.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Oh, wow. So, there's so much things going on here.
Yeah. But again, we've got to wait 9 weeks.
Yeah.
For the next bit.
At this stage.
At this stage, yeah. So. But yeah, page 13, my favourite page of this issue.
Yeah, Mr. Nobody.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to happen. But I'm so glad that it has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad we're moving ahead. We've got the Brotherhood back, or a Brotherhood back. We've learnt more about the disappointment and how he's taken over, the God of Superheroes role, using Danny the Brick.
Yeah.
To take care of whoever was previously in the role. And now he's going to rewrite history, I guess. So,
yeah. And I actually feel it's quite likely that someone will write to us or send us something about this issue that we didn't notice because, there's a lot of stuff coming at us and we are basically in the first flush of reading it right now.
Yeah.
The flush or blush? Anyway, we have not read it many times.
No. I mean, it took me a minute to even realize the words that were spelt out in Lucius's room. So
yeah.
I wonder if that was deliberate or just something, some conscious that happened as he was wrecking his room in his frustration. I don't know.
Or is it symbolic of, his attitude on departure? I mean, that is a masterful page by Nick. Nick Darrington has done such a fantastic job on that particular panel.
Yeah.
Full page of this room, teenage room, from above, Sam and Valerie in the doorway, and just all these different items laid out just to spell out thanks for nothing, in a very deliberate but delightfully. I mean, I love the way that the G is a broken LP. Yeah. Things like that. Oh, so good. Such an issue.
So I think it's definitely worth the wait, as much as I hate waiting for new issues.
Yeah. And as a romantic, I'm very happy to see Sam and Valerie sort of rekindling their togetherness.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. It's, I'm just waiting for them to sort of somehow have more of an impact with the team instead of just being supporting characters.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be leading to something, the fact that we are still being shown them.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, Valerie was involved with Jane in the previous story. Sam has been involved with Casey. But, I'm just wondering. I mean, it's great to see and it's a nice touch, but I'm just waiting for something more to connect them. So
yeah. Yeah, and I'd want to point out two more things, which I think is just how fantastic the colours are throughout this issue. Tamara has done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. There's the opening page where Cliff is getting smacked. There's like this color blur effect across him, where, yes, you know, the colors are sort of shifted, and it really sells the impact of him getting knocked senseless.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, ooh. So really good. And actually, I've got three things. The expression on Jane's face where she says, Cliff, I hate your guts, because her face is just selling the opposite.
Yep.
You know, and then she said, you know, and the way she's looking at him so tenderly as she said, it's true, I hate you with every atom that makes me whole. Suck eggs. And, you know, I love the way Jane, you know, she's got the little bags under her eyes as though, you know, she's had a really rough life.
Yeah.
But now she's sort of at peace,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, the way she looks there, it's so beautifully drawn. It's fantastic. And the other thing I wanted to point out is the sort of desert landscape where Mr. Nobody whisked them away. It really reminds me of the Roadrunner landscape.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, because it's like a, you know, a highway in the, you know, Nevada with nothing around it, you know, and cars coming out of nowhere or just screech to a halt next to them and everything, you know. And that reminds me of Grant Morrison's issue in Animal Man with the Coyote Gospel.
Ah, okay, yes.
Yeah, which was also, you know, that, you know, outside influence on reality. And, you know, that seems to be the big thing in this book. Like, we've got, you know, retcon, and we've got the disappointment, and they're all trying to fiddle with the reality. And I presume that the Doom Patrol is maybe the module that's resistant, you know, perhaps.
Okay.
Because their continuity sort of gets changed, but it sort of doesn't stick. It keeps changing back.
Yeah. And that's something that nobody's actually raised with them before, that, you know, he's quite happily being a champion for change and that. But the patrol have resisted him and you know, put an end to what he's trying to do. And even Cliff has questioned whether they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that probably makes it more, you know, more sense to have the Beast Boy T-shirt, because it's saying, okay, look, this all this stuff has sort of changed around the Doom Patrol. But, you know, really they're still, they've got a through line. Even it keeps reasserting itself, this through line of continuity, even though we keep trying to change it. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too heavy.
No, it's fine. I will point out one thing that I love in this show. I mean, I love the whole issue. It looks great. It reads great.
No, I don't think we have time.
Okay, fine.
No, sorry, Mike.
Bastard. When Nobody is talking to Lucius in the desert scene, and the car's coming towards them, what I love is that you can see through the heart-shaped hole in Nobody's chest, and you can see the clouds behind him still.
Yeah.
I just love that little detail. I don't know. It just adds something more to it. I mean, yeah, it looks, all of it looks great, but some, that little detail on that page there, I love it. I love it. I'm very happy with this issue.
Yeah, and I must admit, if I could hunt Nick down, I'd probably try and get a quick Mr. Nobody sketch out of him.
Yep.
Because he's a great Mr. Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great stuff.
Very cartoony hands.
Mm-hmm. And the eyes. Very expressive.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Mm. Who's your favorite member of the Brotherhood of Nada, you reckon?
It has to be the Brutalist.
Wow, I mean, okay.
Brutalism architecture, finally getting some props.
Wow, you're ahead of me there. I'd never heard of it. So
it's kind of derided because the buildings are very blocky and boring and look very... imagine old government buildings that are just giant blocks of concrete. That's your sort of thing that Brutalism is about. So, and it, I don't know why it appeals to me. It just does. And to see it brought to life as a character, it tickles my fancy, sir. It tickles it.
I think I've got a soft spot for the, you know, the jetpack boy with the metal detector, Hector the boy detector.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just a good name. But, I mean, I like the fact that Alistair Breeze, a.k.a. The Breeze, you know, it just says, being good at everything is so mundane, because I've sometimes felt that about people. Oh, you're good at everything. You're great at sport and you're great at school and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I often comfort myself by thinking I'm more interesting because I'm weird and a failure at all these things.
It will be interesting to see what powers and abilities actually have.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, and how they work together.
Yeah. But judging from the solicitations, I think we're pretty much, you know, this is going to be an arc that will end with 12 because the cover of 12 has the disappointment with his bride on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and, you know, if things had stuck to the schedule, it would have been well and truly over by now. But yeah. It hasn't quite happened.
No. Anyway. No.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like it's hard to get angry when it's this good when it hits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the next 9 weeks we have to get through now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway, right. Your Doom's planned out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On the mailbag.
And now it is time for the mailbag of Doom. And we asked the question last week on the show, or not last week, but last time on the show. Why am I explaining that? It doesn't really matter. 2 years' time, no one will give a crap. Anyway, the question of the week was, pick a team of comic characters. They are now a band. What is the name of their first album? So we heard from Jared Driscoll on Facebook, and he said The Fantastic Four. They have a jazz, easy-listening band, and their first album is The Fantastic Four Go Latin.
Nice. Ed LaTorre chimed in on Facebook saying, well, that's easy. Galactus on bass and vocals, Adam Warlock on lead guitar, and Silver Surfer on drums. They are a metal band called Planet Killer. I like that.
Yeah, this must be a self-titled album.
Yep.
Max Travis, I don't know if we've heard from Max before, but hey, Max, welcome. He said, Suicide Squad, all killers.
Nice. we heard from Frack of the Endless Nation, otherwise known as @Fractures on Twitter. And he said, he actually gave us a whole heap, but the first one was The Fantastic Four and their album, Where Are They Now?
we heard from Martin Gray, @MartGray, and he said, The Legion of Substitute Heroes, and their album is called Pussycats Substitute. Is that, that's a reference I don't get.
I don't get it either.
It must be something United Kingdom-ish.
I'm sure Mart will explain it to us.
Yeah, but he always sounds so disappointed when he does when we don't get him.
Sorry, Martin.
Sorry, Martin.
Sorry.
Hey, I was reading a Legion of Superheroes comic today, and there was a little letter by Martin in the back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
Early 90s or late 80s. Late 80s. Cool.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sure. Look, we got a stack more from Frack.
Yay.
The first being The Inhumans with their album The Dark Side of the Moon. I like that.
Good. And he added The Uncanny X-Men, Menace to Society.
Do you remember there actually was a band called that?
Yeah, the Aussie band.
Yeah.
The next thing, Everybody Wants to Work.
No, not me. Everybody wants to work.
Shocking song. Yeah, I'm actually, because I am an aficionado of 80s Oz rock, much to my wife's displeasure, I actually have a couple of their songs on my 80s Oz rock CDs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is the other one Where Will We Be in 50 Years?
No, it's, I can't remember what it's called, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Right. We are digressing somewhat shockingly. Look, it's Frack again. With this one saying Watchmen with their album 2 Minutes to Midnight. Okay.
The Sea Devils, obscure DC characters. Holy Diver.
Right. He then said Suicide Squad with their album Killing in the Name of.
Okay. And one for you, Mike. The Mento 5, first album, the fifth best album in the world.
Right.
Who's in the Mento 5, I wonder?
Probably just 5 clones of Mento.
Yeah, but that's a good album, though. The fifth best album in the world.
Yeah. Nothing like being confident. Alan Middleton, Professor Alan, chimed in with Victor and the Doombots with their album Latverian Rhapsody. I like that.
And the ITG blogcast. Is that ITG blogcast? What is the ITG blogcast? I better look them up. And they said the conglomerate, business as usual. Do you remember the conglomerate?
I do not.
They were basically Booster Gold got fed up with JLI being a joke and him being a joke in the JLI and formed his own corporate team, which was put together or funded by Max Lord's sister.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Injustice. Right. So Shag will get to that one day in his Bwahaha cast.
Okay. Nice. Oh, it's look, it's
forever Frax answers now.
Yeah. Look, there's another one from Frack. Snoopy and the Peanuts Gang with their album It Was a Dark and Stormy Night. I don't get that one. Sorry.
I don't know.
Running out of steam there, Frack.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
Doug Zavisha.
Dougie.
Hey, Doombro, Doug. He said Challenges of the Unknown, the album The Mountain.
Nice.
They have a mountain as a base. Challenger Mountain.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, look, it's one from Aaron Long at Juice005. He answered, Doom Patrol is a team. Their album title is We've Got the X Factor, because it's a play on the comic book X Factor, because they are X-Men, and X Factor is an offshoot of their franchise.
Wow.
Right.
I saw on Twitter the other day someone was trying to start something saying X-Men were better than the Doom Patrol.
Really?
As though anyone gives a crap at comparing them. You know, they are completely different species of animals. It's not like they're in competition.
I will have to go and look that up and maybe have words with that person.
It was one of those ones I started to write a reply to and thought, I'll just... I want to be flippant and sarcastic, and that just wouldn't end well, I'm sure.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
It's Ryan Bloody Daly from the I Hardly Do Podcasts Anymore Because of the Baby podcast, and he said, A-Force, all female Avengers. We know who A-Force is, right? Okay. But
thanks, Ryan. Thanks
to other people. And their album is Me Too.
Topical.
Ryan, he's always on the edge.
Yeah, Ryan Edge Daily. Yeah. Andy Macon at Andy INDK chimed in with the Injustice League and their album I Fought the Law. Nice.
Yeah. And then we've got Ange, Dr. Ange 70, our favorite doctor. And he said the Legion Espionage Squad and their first album, Now You See Us.
Nice.
Yeah, because they're like spies.
Right. Undercover. Oh, is that what espionage means? Right, thanks.
Yeah.
You're as bad as Daly. look, it's Dougie again.
I'm not as bad as Daly.
Ah, okay. You're nowhere near as edgy. Doug Zavisha at D Zavisha on the Twitters, our fellow Doombro. Check out mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com while you're on the internet. He chimed in again with West Coast Avengers Mystery Member. It's a hairband stuff with Hawkeye on lead guitar and vocals, Mockingbird on bass, Wonder Man on drums, Rhodey on keys, and Tigra doing her best Stevie Nicks impersonation.
Ooh, he has really visualized that, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah. Nice.
We got Joe Crawford at J3K_C. And he said, the Legion of Super Pets, Bark Side of the Moon.
That's good. He chimed in again with The Forgotten Heroes and their album, Guess Who? Nice.
Yeah. Andy Macon, people like coming back for this one. They gave it several cracks. So Andy Macon came back and he said, the Green Lantern Corps, it ain't easy being green.
Boom tish. Bobgar Ornelas gave us a bunch of them. The first being Legion, L-E-G-I-O-N, as in the acronym, and their album title is Acronomicon.
I really like that one.
That's cool.
Because I was a big fan of Legion with the Dots.
Yep.
Sorry.
Do you want to do the next ones?
Oh.
We'll alternate Bob Gars.
All right. I thought you had Bob Gar. I had
Queen. All right. I'll keep doing Bob Gar then.
Don't get upset.
No, stuff ya. I'm going on. Shut up.
Fine.
He also gave us Doom Patrol with their album Crawling from the Wreckage, to which Bob Gar added, duh. X Factor with Mutant Genome Project. Nice. Justice League, Motor City Mayhem. I'm guessing Detroit era.
Yeah.
My favorite one of his, Youngblood with their album Were We Ever Relevant?
Yeah. And this is all in one tweet. So this is what happens when Twitter takes the parameters off the tweet limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right, we heard from Clinton at Coffee and Comics blog, and he said, El Dorado, Black Vulcan, Samurai, the Wonder Twins, and Gleek as super friends with their new album, Remember Us. Sure do. My wife, for her birthday, I gave her the Wonder Twins pops with Gleek. Have you seen those?
Yep.
Yeah, and like she saw them once and was like, oh, wow, and she kept talking about them, and I'd already bought them, and they're in the cupboard for a month, and she kept mentioning them all the time. Anyway, she's happy to receive.
Excellent. We heard from Clinton again, and he came back with The Phantom Stranger and the album People Are Strange When You're a Stranger. Nice. I like it.
We heard from Moby One at Shmoby One Moby, and he said the current JLA, Justice League of America, because they got Lobo in them at the moment, he said self-titled as Lobo and the Lobotomizers.
That's cool. Joe Crawford came back again. He's at J3K_C on the Twitters. And he said, Legion of Monsters and the album Supernatural. Cool.
Ooh, yeah. And Jared at Talking Sinistro, we've not heard from Jared before. He said, DC Metal Man album, our album goes platinum. Really good.
Nice. It's Andy Macon again, at Andy INDK, and he said, Quantum and Woody, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Nice.
Then we got Abel Padzilla, and he said, maybe Johnny, Ben, and Sue release a concept album about the time the Silver Surfer's power cosmic was stolen by a certain Latverian monarch, title Waiting for Doom. Copyright infringement.
Wilfred, can you get the lawyers onto that? Thanks. We heard from Clinton at Coffin Comics blog again, and this time he's contributed the Blue Beetles, Dan, Other Dan, Ted and Jaime, with their album Who's Got the Bug. Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. We heard from Costa Voutsinus at MTL Web 3944, another newbie, and he said Alpha Flight, Winter Blues.
Nice.
And everything. Canada.
Yep. Yeah. It's cold up there.
Mm. So, Mike, what have you got? Have you got one?
Yes, but I don't like it, but I'll go with it anyway. The band will be the Doom Patrol, and their album title will be Waiting, Waiting, Waiting.
And the first single at this stage.
Yeah. And to clarify, it'll be the Volume 6 Current Patrol as the band members.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your one, Paul?
I've got five. I've got a little count there.
You're bad as frack.
Yeah. So, you know the Midnight Suns? You know that team?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like Ghost Rider and Blade and...
Yep.
Else. Yeah. Anyway, so they're Silly Love Songs. And... my fourth option was the Global Guardians, disbanded it.
Right.
The Justice League International with their album Bois Hard.
Okay.
The Super Family, Straight Out of Krypton.
Oh, gosh. Right.
And my number one, a little drum roll, please. The Thing and Friends, it's collaborating time.
Wow. Okay. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Very proud of that one.
What was the Midnight Suns one again?
Silly Love Song.
Right. Okay.
Because it's ironic.
Anyway. Yes. Sure. God. Ah, dearie me. Now, we should also mention we got an email in the mailbag from Abba talking about when we covered issue 83 from Rachel Pollack. We're going to save that until next episode when we cover two more issues from Rachel Pollack's run. We also got a link and some interesting comments from Ed LaTorre on the Facebook page as well. But again, we will save that for next episode because it touches on some of Rachel Pollack's run. It will probably be more relevant as we're discussing Rachel's work next episode.
Yeah. Sorry, I just realized Fugg wasn't in this issue this week.
No. Well, he was probably off recuperating in Dannyland or doing something. No Fugg, no lotion. We'll survive. We'll survive. But yes, let's sign off there before we get any more silly album titles, Paul. So next week on the show, we are returning to Volume 2, covering issues 84 and 85.
Yep.
From Rachel Pollack, getting ever closer to the big finale from Volume 2. And we have a new question of the week. What is that question, Paul?
Well, I have to thank you for the question because you came up with this one. But it is, what is your comic-related thing that got away?
This could be missing out on the chance to meet a creator that you've always wanted to chat with, missing out on a key issue somehow, getting sniped on eBay at the last second on something you were really hoping to get. In terms of comics, what's the one that got away from you?
Yeah.
Share your tales of woe with us.
And I guarantee we won't hear from Aaron Long on this one.
Oh, now that you've said it.
I don't think that guy's ever missed out on anything.
No.
Anyway.
But yes, that's it for next episode and for this one. So as always, you can reach us on Twitter at WFDpod. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com. You can check out the Waiting for Doom Facebook page and the awesome work that Doug does on mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And that's us done.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We'll catch you all again next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Waiting for Doom. Melbourne.
I was just going to say.